Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing why. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. It's an honor for me to be able to spend time with you every day. And I know it's like a dream come true for you. I hear that from you all the time. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Bill Brandt is with us. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an old friend of ours. He's the president of Development Specialists Incorporated, and one of the smartest guys I know. And he and I agree on many, many things, and we disagree on a few things. But we'll see about both of those during this visit. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Bill, you haven't been here since we've gone through this, the last 2 months, let's say, month and a half or so, of knee-jerk reactions to the challenges that keep popping up. And in the last 2 months, again, maybe more like 6 weeks, Bill, it seems like all the progress that we made towards a capitalistic economy globally, spreading capitalism globally, it seems like in 6 weeks, decades of progress has been wiped out by nationalizing banks and companies and the failure of major institutions. It seems to me that capitalism has really got a bloody nose right now. What do you think?
I'm not sure that capitalism does. I think what certainly has a bloody nose is inept government response to market hiccups.
Right.
I suspect we have more than a hiccup here, but the ham-handed way in which these folks have sort of trashed the house trying to figure out something that would work, making pronouncements after pronouncements.
Well, that ham hand is what created the bloody nose. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, I think so. I don't think we've seen the end of capitalism. I could capitalism have been better regulated coming into this cycle? Absolutely. Has this response hastened or exacerbated the problems? Absolutely. For example, Jim, when just right from the start, you know, one of the problems we have is the folks at Treasury and the Fed are horrible politicians. And in truth, what the thing called for initially, as FDR would have said, you know, years ago, was confidence and a lack of fear. When they rushed out and announced, for no particular reason, that we needed $700 billion, I was wondering if it was just 7 o'clock at night, and had we have caught them earlier in the afternoon, the number would have been less. But, you know, once Paulson said $700 billion, there was no way to retreat from that figure.
Yeah.
That figure was set in stone, and nobody exactly knew how we got there. And it turns out, of course, that $700 billion under TARP, as it's called, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, was meaningless, because in the end, he wound up diverting most of that cash to the banks anyway.
Yeah. Well, but it sure created a lot of hysteria, sure created a lot of problems.
Jim, I will agree with you. The object, it was a crisis of confidence, and so the
isn't that what it's all about right now?
That's economics.
I mean, isn't the reality of the marketplace not nearly as bad as the hysteria we've cooked up between our ears?
I would agree. If you get west of the Hudson, people are still farming. People are still working. I mean, there are some effects of the credit crunch, I will grant you, but when people are told that the companies will shut down because they can't make payroll because of the credit crisis, folks, if you're borrowing to make your payroll, the entirety of it, you've got a bigger problem than the credit crunch anyway.
Well, so, here's the other thing, Bill. They were running around saying that, you know, the news media has been running around saying how small business owners, you know, don't have access to capital. They can't borrow money. Well, let me tell you something. I'm in touch with banks who lend to small businesses. And now not Bank of America may not be, but First National Bank of Boise, Idaho is. I can tell you that.
You know, Jim, the banking world, as I understand it from my youth, is fairly simple. get a bunch of depositors and you pay them one interest rate and you loan money out at a bigger interest rate.
That's
if
right.
You don't loan out money, then you ain't going to make any money.
That's
at
right.
the bank. And I did not see at the local level. I saw a lot of hesitancy because of the relentless bang of the news media. But at the local level, remember, I'm also chairman of the Illinois Finance Authority,
right.
one of the nation's largest bond issuers. I did not see the credit freeze at the local level. What I
We're
saw
nuts.
In the bond market was a lot of people putting off closing because they had no idea whether the bonds could be sold because
right.
there was this basically infection in the in the investor world.
We're gonna when we come back, folks. We're gonna elect Bill Brandt president, and he's gonna tell us what President Brandt would do.
I'd have to get my Palin, which would be a losing game.
We're not gonna let him go back and undo anything that's already been done. He's gonna have to deal with what we've got in front of us, what's on his plate right now. President Bill Brandt, right after these messages. 2012. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. By the way, there's a cable channel called Palladia. If you get a chance, Fleetwood Mac, which is that's their song, they're in, and one of the great ones, they've got a two-hour live show on from Boston, live from Boston on Palladia. If you got cable or any of the disc, the satellite televisions, if you get a chance to find that, I recorded it the other day. It's outstanding, so check that out. Fleetwood Mac. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got our good buddy Bill Brandt with us right now. And by the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out. Use them to your advantage. We built them just for you. Bill, and Bill, by the way, is president of DSI Development Specialists Incorporated. That's DSI.biz, right?
It is.
.biz. DSI.biz. So check them out. Bill writes a lot of good, important articles, a lot of important things that you'll find there, and you can also find out about what he does. Bill, one of the things I keep reminding people about is that the stock market is only somewhat of a cousin. It's got some of the same DNA of Main Street, but it's not directly related to Main Street. And I differentiate all the time between Wall Street and Main Street and small businesses on Main Street. And here's one of the main ways I differentiate it. Wall Street doesn't believe in anything. Wall Street basically has no values. Main Street believes in things. Main Street believes in itself. Main Street believes in its customers. It believes in small business owners believe in themselves. And Bill, I believe that Wall Street and our government and the two working together have gotten us into this mess more than anything else. But I believe Main Street will be what will get us out of this. What do you think?
I agree. I also think that the government's regulatory schemes did not keep up with what they allowed to have happen. And I mean,
and that's a pox on the Republicans and the Democrats.
It is on both. I was around when Glass-Steagall was repealed in 1995, I think it was, or 96. And I remember talking to John Kerry, who said they were making great progress in economic values. They just repealed Glass-Steagall. And I said, 2 years on from the RTC, SNL, and banking failures, you guys have set in motion something that will make me rich a decade from now in my workout business, and in fact it has, because you let everybody else into everybody else's business. That's okay, I guess, but you provided no regulatory scheme to monitor it.
Right. Especially over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Look, AIG is interesting, for example. Last I looked, there are 50 state insurance commissioners and federal laws dating from the 40s that say the federal government can have nothing to do with insurance companies.
Right, right.
And here's the Treasury saving an insurance company and letting an investment bank go. And the 50 state insurance commissioners are doing that classic line, Jim, what are we, potted plants?
Mm-hmm.
This just ham-handed response was just goofy. Plus the fact that...
But do you have any confidence? I mean, I know that that response you're talking about came from Republicans. Do you have any confidence that if it had been Democrats in charge, they would have made any different decision?
I differ. It was neither from Republicans nor Democrats, because it was from Wall Street, and that was your problem.
Yeah.
You know, Rubin and some of the really smart guys from Clinton are from Wall Street as well. Regardless of political affiliation, you cannot let the people who got you into this try and get you out, all the while trying to protect some of their well-known and lesser.
So what does all this mean for the hardworking small business owners who didn't do one darn thing wrong, but yet we're having to pay the price? What does this mean?
I don't think, in the long run, I think if people stick to their knitting and pay attention, it'll pass. And when I say in the long run, I mean in several months. I think that by this time next year, the market won't be back to its heyday of what it was, you know, several months ago, but it will have recovered measurably somewhat, and things will have tamped down.
Well,
a lot of this is just a crisis of confidence.
President Brandt, what are you going to do in the next 4 years? What are you going to do in your administration to fix this?
Well, you know, I'm going to take a page from FDR, not because he was a Democrat, Jimmy, but because, frankly, he set in motion a series of regulatory schemes which lasted the better part of 60 years. I would set up these schemes with commissions. I would make sure that if you're going to let banks be in the insurance business, and if you're going to let investment banks be in the banking business, that you have one structured regulator that can take care of all of this, rather than the FDIC, for example, chasing banks. Only 27% of the nation's commercial banking activity is now covered by the FDIC. The biggest lender we have in the commercial space also makes light bulbs, as you know, and nobody regulates them. And we are, to some extent, the victim of letting this sort of happen.
But those entities aren't really the problem, are they?
They aren't necessarily the problem, but you go back to the issue of home mortgage loans, and if you look at Countrywide and Golden West and all of these, none of those were regulated by anybody. Everybody says, well, this started in the Clinton administration or the Bush administration worsened it. Neither is true. These people were commercial finance companies dealing in home mortgages, and there was no essential regulation in most states except perhaps minimal oversight by the state's savings and loan commissioners. And
what are you going to do? What are you going to do, though, Bill, to make sure with your newfound power, which the next president will have? What are you going to do to make sure you don't overstep?
You know, I think
isn't that a danger?
It is an absolute danger, and the real problem you're talking about, Jim, is equilibrium in the financial markets. And I will tell you that Roosevelt didn't get it right. If you look at the history of the 30s, well into the later part of that decade, you just, when you impose a regulatory scheme or try and rationalize or routinize the market,
you're
just never sure until there's a couple of years of operation under your belt, and then there needs to be tweaking. And we have to understand we're searching for a new equilibrium. I like you, am afraid that the current equilibrium, which basically has the government running the markets, is a little goofy.
Yeah, and I'm worried about where we're going from here along those lines. But I do remember that speech, though, Bill. It was 1929 on television. President Roosevelt told us about that, didn't he? I remember that now.
Well, it was a follow-up Remember, Lincoln freed the slaves on television.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist. That was just too close.
Well, no,
stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Brandt. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Brandt. Bill, remind the audience a little bit about what your company does, Development Specialists Incorporated.
DSI is one of the nation's oldest and largest firms, in fact, now worldwide, that engages in restructuring. So we do a lot of corporate restructuring workouts, fiduciary services related to that, trying to guide companies through the toughest times.
Can I assume that business is good?
Our concept of marketing right now, Jim, is answering the phone. So yes, business.
Make sure the phone works and the door's unlocked.
In fact, we don't have a time. We're like Denny's now. The door is never unlocked because the folks are coming in and over and around the transom. It's a real tough time. I see this in cycles. I've been doing this for 35 years, and this cycle is terribly reminiscent of the last time there was a sort of a transition between a long-term Republican and an incoming Democrat, and that was the 91-92 era. And if you recall, things were tough then, and the similarities are awestruck, you know, just almost exact.
Yep, it's amazing. Okay, so your administration, President Brent, didn't last long. We're going to have to transition over to the next administration, which is, it looks more and more, Bill, like it's going to be an Obama administration. I predicted 6 months ago in May. I started predicting, Bill, that if Obama was elected president, that he would have long coattails, which would manifest in a more of an of a majority in the House and a 60 plus filibuster proof Senate. What do you think?
Other way around. I think that if I look at all these races around the country, the Democrats need to have a thank you note writing party just after the election, and all the Democrats need to do is sit at one big table and write all the Wall Street bankers thank you notes.
Yeah.
Because what is it? The race was as close as John McCain said it was right after Labor Day. It is the economic implosion that's done this to the Republican Party.
Yep.
And if you look all over the country, you'll see that in most of those Senate races, the Democrats lead by a larger margin over their Republican opponents than Obama leads by McCain.
Right.
So it isn't Obama's coattails, it is...
You think it's their coattails? Really?
That tells me he has... In some states he does, Jim, but not most. It tells me that Obama hasn't sold the deal to much of the American public yet, to that final thing, but the Democrats certainly have, and I think at this point you may see a number of those Senate races where Obama lags 5 or 6 points behind the winning Democrat. But yes, it's going to be a very...
But he will have... There will be a Democrat in the White House, probably. And
overwhelming majorities in both houses.
Yeah,
I'm not sure we get to 60, but I believe we get functionally close enough.
I bet you we get 60. I bet we get at least 60.
Well, there's odd races like Scott Klebb's race in Nebraska for Chuck Hagel's open seat because Nebraska splits its electoral votes. There's all kinds of small dramas playing out that people aren't focusing on that could get us to the 60. But effectively what you have, yes, is a one-party control of Washington, most likely if the election is today.
What will the first 4 years of an Obama administration look like?
If I had my druthers, my guess is it would be, and I know the people involved, it would be very similar to the first 4 years of the Clinton administration, hopefully without the snafus that sort of debilitated him right off the bat with the don't ask, don't tell, and the rest of it. I'm hoping there's no screwy stuff off the start. But I think, if you recall, by the end of the Clinton administration, there was a tax increase on those making significant incomes. But we were well on our way to an economic recovery and balancing the budget.
Well, and also with the help of a Republican Congress, welfare was reformed, which I don't think gets enough credit for how this current decade is gone. We've got more people available to work right now because of welfare reform.
I don't disagree. I'm hoping. I mean, I remember that after 94, there was a balance, if you will. I think 2010 could be a retrenchment period for the Democrats as well. I'm hoping what we're looking at is a reprise of the Clinton years. On balance, looking back and apart from all the Monica stuff, for most everyday persons, those weren't bad years.
His challenge, Obama's challenge, and I think you've said this on the show, Bill, before, is his challenge will be to be more like Clinton's first 4 years are John F. Kennedy, and to resist the tendency to have a Carter 4 years.
I agree, and you'll recall that one of the things that
happened... Those are your words.
Yeah, no, they are, and I recall that one of the things that happened to Bill Clinton, because I was there in the first 4 years, right after he was elected, the Senate and House Democratic leaders came in and said, look, you're the new kid in town, let us show you how to do this, and that was his biggest mistake, listening to them.
Not being independent.
Right. I think Obama's people are smart enough to have learned that lesson of history and recognize that the executive's got to drive the process.
Yeah, exactly.
And letting everybody's pet project in Congress get put up for legislation is not the way to do that.
Exactly. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Jim, it's always a pleasure.
Bill Brandt, ladies and gentlemen, DSI.biz is his website. He is a great American. We'll have him back again real soon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without all the things that you do, folks, I don't even want to think about what this world would look like. I am very proud of you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.